important he is. Yet he said the greatest man born of woman is John the Baptizer. And he says the least in the kingdom, and that's what Jesus calls Louisa, the littlest one in the kingdom is greater than he. So what our Lord is showing us is something magnificent is coming. Something unbelievable is coming. And our Lord is asking us, he's saying to us, I have so much to give to my children. Because now is the time that he wants to do this. And so listen to how Louisa, this is volume one. Listen to how Louisa talks to Jesus. Oh, my son, S-U-N, my beautiful one, I want to enter right into the center of you, Jesus, that I remain completely sunken within your most pure light. That's how we have to begin to talk to Jesus. He's this radiant sun, this light, this life, this love that he wants us to enter into. And Louisa knows how to do this. That's why Jesus called Louisa the newborn, the firstborn. And then she says, oh, divine sun, let this light precede me in front of me, follow behind me, surround me everywhere. May this sun penetrate into every intimate hiding place of my interior, that my terrestrial being may be consumed. And you, Lord Jesus, may you be transformed. May you be transformed in it completely, completely into your divine being. This is what St. Peter talks about in the epistle. He says, we are called to be divinized. That doesn't mean to become God. The priest says it every day at Holy Mass. He says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. Jesus is anxious for us to return to his image and likeness. And for the last 2,000 years, we've learned how to become good and holy and saintly, and all of us are failures. But Jesus says, I'm going to do this for you. That's why I know we can live in the divine will. Jesus is going to do it. He keeps on telling Louisa, get out of my way. Let me do this. Let me accomplish this. In you, through you, for you. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done but what God has done for them. So our Lord is looking at us, and our Lord is saying, you cannot believe what I have in store for you. I'm going to return to you the gift that Adam lost. That's living in the divine will. This is what Jesus says. But this is what Louisa says. Most holy virgin, lovable mother, come to my aid. Obtain for me from your sweet Jesus and mine the grace, the strength, in order to do this obedience. He's asking us to say yes. He's asking us to say fiat to this obedience. See, Adam was disobedient. Adam was unfaithful. Jesus comes as obedient and faithful. Mary comes as obedient and faithful. This is the new and abundant life that our God wants to give to us. What did St. Pope John Paul II? He says, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of mankind, the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. What did he know? He learned from St. Faustina. The final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's the final devotion. Why? The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is close, Jesus said 2,000 years ago. The kingdom is at hand, he said 2,000 years ago. Read the divine will, and you'll see how close the kingdom is. It's close. What did Our Lady of Revelation say to Bruno in Rome in 1947? Our Lady of Revelation, she said, Bruno, time has now come to an end. And Bruno said, the end of the world? And she said, no, the end of this era. What's this era? What happened a week and a half ago? The Communist Party of China says, we are now celebrating our 100th year. What does that mean for us? It means it's over. Pope Leo XIII heard the Lucifer say to Jesus, give me 100 years and I'll destroy your church. And God says, you have your 100 years. It's over. All this doom and gloom out there, what is wrong? We should be peaceful, joyful, and happy. We should be radiant as Catholics. Well, look what's happening here. Look what's happening there. Hey, Jesus said it, that's what's going to happen. It's like a birth. The pains are going to get more intense, more frequent, until the child is born. Until the kingdom is established. Why did Our Lady appear as Our Lady of Revelation? I mean, you have to understand what's going on. What did Our Lady say to Father Gobi in 1997? She says, everything's completed. It's all done. What's completed? What happened? In 1996, the volumes of Luisa came out of the Vatican. What did she say to Father Gobi? She says, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary will begin in Mexico City. What happened in Mexico City? In 1996, the volumes were brought to Acuna, who had about 30 people in his prayer group, and they knew volume 1 through volume 19 perfectly, or as well as anybody. And then they got volume 20 through volume 36. And within a year, they had read it all. And Our Lady said, it's complete. She says, the triumph has begun in Mexico City. What is the triumph? We become like her son. That's her triumph. You have to understand, the time that we're living in, it's the kingdom is so close. It's so close. Why is everything falling apart? Because the kingdom is coming. God is saying to every person, choose what you need, choose what you want, because that's what you're going to get. If you want a life of hell, that's going to be yours. You want a life of heaven, that will be yours. So we look at our friends and our neighbors and our family. We look at the world. And what do we see? Many are disobedient. Many are unfaithful. Many are choosing the way to hell. So Jesus says to us what he said to Louisa. Are you willing to stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites? Are you ready to stand in the breach for all of my children? Because he says their human will is so strong they can't get there. Would you do it for them? Would you give your fiat for them? And all of us have said yes. We love our families. We love our friends. We love our neighbors. We love our parishioners. But Jesus is saying to us, will you love all my children? Not just the ones you know. Everyone. Would you stand in the breach for everyone? Let's listen to Louisa. Listen to Louisa. Saint Joseph, my dear protector, assist me in this circumstance of mine. Assist me in these circumstances that we're in. Archangel Saint Michael, defend me from the infernal enemy. Michael is very important at this time. This is why we prayed the prayer that Pope Leo XIII asked us to pray. We are in We're in a really interesting situation. And we need all the help that we can get. Call on the angels often. He says, defend me from the infernal enemy who puts so many obstacles in my mind and makes me fail in this obedience. Archangel St. Raphael, you, my guardian angel, come to assist me and accompany me to direct my hand that I might write the truths alone, the truth of Jesus alone. And when we read it, we said, direct my mouth, my ears, my eyes to read these writings, to study these writings, to put these into practice. This is, you know, people say to me, what's the illumination of conscience going to be? I said, do you have the book of heaven? And they go, yeah, that's the illumination of conscience. Read the book of heaven. Do you think Jesus is going to come with something? Forget what I said to Louisa, the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will. Let me show you something completely different. No, he's given it to us. And those that are reading are peaceful, joyful, and happy. And that's what Jesus said. Those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy are anticipating heaven. Those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, doubting, are anticipating hell. And then he says to Louisa, how do you want to live? Do you want to live a life of heaven? Or do you want to live a life of hell? What do you want? I gave it to Lucifer. He wanted hell, and it's his. So Jesus is saying to us, I've given you the book of heaven, and I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you to read this, to study this, to put this into practice. Going down to volume 1, oh, please imitate me, Jesus said. When I was in the house of Nazareth, my mind was occupied with nothing but the glory of the Father and the salvation of souls. That's how we have to begin to think. We want to give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. And we want all humanity to participate in this life of love, of light, and of love. He wants us to participate in this new beginning for mankind. My mouth uttered nothing but holy discourses. That's what we have to have. We have to start to live the life of Jesus. Nothing came out of his mouth but holy discourses. That's what has to begin with us. Jesus says, I'm spying on you. This is what he says to Louisa. I'm spying on you. Why? To see what you're doing. To listen to what you're saying. He says, I want to give you what you want. And if we want heaven, if we want paradise, if we want the Garden of Eden, it is ours. Jesus has to give us what we want. That's why everything seems to be falling apart. But in reality, Jesus is getting everything in order. He needs to put everything in order. That's our God. Jesus says, oh, please imitate me. When I was in the house of Nazareth, my mind was occupied with nothing but the glory of the Father, the salvation of souls. My mouth uttered nothing but holy discourses. With my words, I tried to repair for the offenses against the Heavenly Father, to dart through the hearts of all mankind, to draw them to my love. See, that's what we're doing with our families, our friends, our neighbors, but to all mankind, to draw them to Jesus' love. See, the divine will is love. It's God. I remember talking to Cardinal Burke, and I said to him, Jesus said, it was really funny. I said, Jesus said that the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. And he goes, what? What? And I read it to him, and he goes, give me that. And I said, well, it's for you. What is Jesus? How can God be greater than God? We receive the Holy Eucharist, and this is why the Holy Mass ends. The Holy Mass ends, receive communion, You get the final prayer, final blessing. Why? The church does not want to interfere with your communion with God. This is why we are silent and praising God and loving God and glorifying God and worshiping God. We're in that communion, the most beautiful time of the day. Your prayers are one with Jesus. And Jesus is, he wants to answer all our prayers. What does Scripture say? Ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. Those are Jesus' words. Ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. What is God doing? He's drawing us closer and closer to himself. He's asking us to enter into this love of God. So what is the divine will? Louisa lamented to Jesus once when she said, I don't think I'll be able to go to Holy Mass and receive Holy Communion. And Jesus says that will happen one day. You will not be able to receive Holy Communion. And she lamented. And Jesus said, Louisa, what's better, to receive me for 15 minutes in a mystical way until the host dissolves, or to receive me in a perennial communion that will never end, a communion that Adam had before the fall? What do you want? What is better? And she says, the perennial communion. And Jesus says, yes, that's what I've planned. So why is Jesus giving us the Eucharist? To prepare us for this perennial communion with God, where Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. This love of God is what we're supposed to enter into, to participate in. He's got great plans. Our Lord has great plans, and we're in them. And all we have to learn to do is say fiat. God says it's, God is gratuitous. He's constantly giving. He can't stop. And he wants to fill us. He says to Louisa, I want to fill you to overflowing. He says basically this. With my words, I try to repair for the offenses against the Father, to dart through the hearts and to draw everyone to my love, primarily my mother and Saint Joseph. In a word, everything called upon God. Everything was done for God. When we just went through our procession, was every step for God? Was every heartbeat for God? Were we listening for the glory of God? Were we praying for the glory of God? This is Eden. That's paradise. That's heaven. Jesus says, I want you to begin to live this life. Everything was done for God, and everything referred to him and him alone. Why? Listen to Jesus. Why could you not do the same? He's asking us that. What are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you saying? Is it all for the glory of God? So we have to discipline ourselves. This is why Jesus has given us the divine will, the book of heaven, to discipline ourselves to focus on God alone. Everything for the glory of God. Everything for the salvation of souls. See, we're here on earth for a very short period of time. Very short period of time. Why? To get us ready for eternity. That's what Our Lady said to Bruno. She said to Bruno, my children are going to live in eternity. They're going to experience the beatific vision, where the children of Lucifer will always be trapped in time and space, and they will never be able to embrace eternity. So what are we doing? Where's God? See, this is why Our Lady is so important. She is perfect. Theotokos, Mother of God, she is perfect. The perfect human being. Never doing her human will. Just like Jesus. Never doing his human will. did everything in the divine will. Our Lady said, I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. Total docility, total surrender, total submission. This is what God is asking of us. And so we say to the Lord, yes. Yes, I want this. And God goes, good, prove it. And then he puts us in a situation. What about this situation? What about that situation? What about this? And what is he doing? He's trying to teach us to say fiat in all situations. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, fiat. Why could you not do the same? Volume 2, 4, 21, 99. In my mind, I thought of that someone had entered the futility without anyone of my family seeing him and had penetrated even into my little room. Who knows what he shall do to me? My fear was so great that I felt my blood freeze in my veins. We've all gone through this. And I trembled all over. Oh, God, what to do? And I said to myself, my family did not see him. I feel all numb. I cannot defend myself, nor can I ask for help. Jesus, Mary, my mama, help me. Saint Joseph, defend me from this danger. Luisa, I mean, look at her life. The devil would take her in her bed and wrap her bed around her. These are steel bars wrapped around her. And they'd call the doctor. And the doctor would take 3 days to go to Torre Desperado. And the doctor would look and he says, this is for a priest. This is not for a doctor. Take 3 more days for the priest to come. He'd do the blessing. And this is what you're going to see with the priests. This is what you're going to see. The blessing, the bed unfolded. When Jesus would go into paralysis every night, the priest would come every morning and say, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, and she'd come back to her senses. You can't be Catholic without the priest. You can't have this universal life without the priest. Don't Protestantize what God is doing. What God has planned for the priesthood, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable what God is going to do. And what he says is his terrible plight. I mean, the terrible suffering that he's going through is the terrible plight of his priests. But Jesus says, I'm going to restore my priesthood to the way I wanted it from the beginning. Great things are going to happen. You're going to see things that are going to... You think the miracle of the sun was something? What's going to come upon the earth is astonishing. Jesus says that to Luisa. Wait till you see this. Wait till you hear this. Wait till you get into this. Jesus says that the earth is going to shake. For those, it's going to be shaking with joy. For others, it's going to be shaking with fear and trembling. The kingdom's coming. And God is going to give to everybody what they want. And so this is why he gave us the book of heaven. As you read and study and put this into practice, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to be anxious about. There's nothing to complain about. There's nothing to be negative about. What's coming is the kingdom. You have to understand this. It's so close. Volume 4, 1225. 1900. Who can tell the beauty of the little baby? When Jesus holds Luisa, when Luisa holds Jesus, when Jesus holds Luisa, she is the little newborn. When Luisa holds Jesus, he is the little newborn. It's not a romantic holding. It's the father holding his daughter. The mother holding the son. This is the intimacy. who at the moment of his birth transfused so externally the rays of divinity, who can tell the beauty of the mother, Mary, who remained all absorbed in those divine rays? And St. Joseph, it seemed to me that he was not present in the act of the birth, but remained in another corner of the cave, all engrossed in that profound mystery. And if he did not see with the eyes of the body, he saw very well with the eyes of the soul. That's what God's going to teach you. How to see with the eyes of the soul, to listen with the eyes of the soul, the ears of the soul. And then, see, Jesus said this to Louisa in volume 36. He says, I made the senses for man, the senses of man, to be mine. Jesus wants to gaze in our gazing, listen in our listening, speak in our speaking. When you enter into the divine will, who's in your house? It's Jesus. Listening in your listening. Speaking in your speaking. Gazing in your gazing. How cannot a family live in joy and peace if Jesus is there? Hey, Jesus, this is the joy and the peace and the happiness of God. And if he's not there, how can you be happy? So what Jesus is saying, because he remained enraptured in sublime ecstasy. This is what God is going to give to you with the divine will. Joseph was in the presence of Jesus and Mary. He witnessed them living in the divine will. Louisa was given this gift as the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will. What does this mean? The greatest man born of woman, John the Baptizer. The least in the kingdom, Louisa. It means we've turned a corner. The kingdom is coming back. We're going to begin to live this universal life that Adam lost. This is a new beginning that's coming. It's an amazing time to be alive. Volume 4, 1226, 1900. As I continued to see the Holy Baby, I saw the Queen Mother on one side and St. Joseph on the other, adoring the divine infant profoundly. Everyone should have a baby Jesus. Not a little baby Jesus. A regular baby, the baby size. When the Pope kisses the baby Jesus at Christmas time, it's not something to do. Well, it's Christmas, so I'll kiss the baby. No, Jesus says this to Louisa. When you kiss the crucifix, he says, I will accept it as you're actually kissing me. When you kiss the baby Jesus, he says, I will accept it as you're actually kissing me. It's not that it is, that statue is Jesus, but he says, the affection that you have, the love that you have, I will accept it as if I was actually there. He says, so we're going to learn how to adore the divine infant profoundly. Adore Christ crucified profoundly. Being all intent on him, it seemed to me that the continuous presence of the little baby kept them engrossed in a continuous ecstasy, as if they could work. It was a prodigy, listen to this, that the Lord had operated in them. The prodigy of prodigies is the divine will. The gift of gifts is the divine will. That's what Jesus tells Louisa continuously. And he's offering it to us. He says the miracles that are going to happen through this gift, no one could ever even imagine what's coming. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Our Lady has called us to enter into healing. This water isn't just water. Our Lady's going to use it. She says, there will be more miracles here than at Lourdes and at Fatima. And that was, yes, it was supposed to be in Washington. But I think God has gone to plan B. And we're here. And this is glorious. We saw tonight. It's just beginning what God is going to do. Wait till Sunday. Wait till Sunday. God's got great, great plans. Being all intent on Jesus, it seemed to me that the continuous presence of the little baby kept them engrossed in continuous ecstasy, and they could work. It was a prodigy that the Lord operated in them. Otherwise, they would have remained motionless, unable to attend to their external duties. I, too, did my adoration. And I found myself inside myself. Volume 5, 3:19-03. This morning I saw the confessor all humiliated, and also blessed Jesus of St. Joseph, who said to him, "Get down to work, for the Lord is ready to give you the grace you want." A friend of mine, she went to the doctor, and the doctor looked at her and said, "Are you here for a miracle?" She said, "I can't give you a miracle." And this little lady stood up and said, "You can't give me a miracle. Only God can give me a miracle." And she went back home and she said to Jesus, "You haven't answered my prayer." Then she said to Our Lady, "And you haven't answered my prayer." Then she said to St. Joseph, "And you, Joseph, you've done nothing to help me." She was instantly healed. She went back to the doctor, and the doctors couldn't figure it out, what had happened. And, you know, she said, "You thought you were going to give me a miracle? God gave me the miracle through St. Joseph." And she says, "I want you to have this picture of St. Joseph." And the doctor says, "I'm a Jew." And he says, "So is he." She's 94 and she's still ticking. She's clear as a bell, I'm telling you. But anyways, God's got great plans. Great things are happening. Great things are going to come. You can't believe what God has got planned. Great things are going to happen. Okay, so it says, Volume 5, 3:19-03. "This morning I saw the confessor all humiliated, and also blessed Jesus and St. Joseph, who said to him, 'Get down to work. The Lord is ready to give you the grace you want.'" This is what God has given to you this weekend. What grace do you want? This is a very powerful time in the world. God is more powerful than anything. What do you want? What is your wish? Jesus said, "What do you wish for?" I wish that I could see. I wish that I..." God says, "Yes." The woman who touched the tassel of Jesus, the hem of Jesus, why did she do that? Because the Leviticus, it says, by the hem of the Messiah, you will be healed. So the tassel is the tillet that they're wearing, the prayer shawl. And she grabbed the tillet. She grabbed the hem. Jesus knew who it was. And he turned around and said, "Who did this?" Now, why did he do this? He wanted to hear from her own voice, her own lips, that she believed. And so what does he say to her? He says, "You are healed because of your belief in me, the Messiah." Jesus asks us that continuously. Who am I to you? He said that to the apostles. Who do you say that I am? Jesus says this to us today. He said very, very clearly. He says, "I will grant you what you want." What is your wish? What is your prayer? Don't doubt. God won't do that for me. Of course he can't. You've already said no. You have to understand, Jesus, he's our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. He's our God. Do you believe? "Well, I believe, but I don't think he..." Fine, you can't have it. What did these people say? "Jesus, if you wish, you can do this." If I wish? Yes. Jesus is, he loves us so much. He says, the Lord is ready to give you the grace you want, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. After this, and seeing my dear Jesus suffering in the course of his passion, I said to him, Lord, did you not feel tiredness in the suffering of so many different pains? And Jesus, no, on the contrary, one suffering would ignite the heart more to suffer another one. That's our God. He's so generous. These are the ways of divine suffering. Not only this, but the suffering and operating. It looks at nothing but the fruit it receives from the suffering. Jesus has got great plans, and we're in them. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us just to say, fiat. When something goes wrong, we have to get to the point of saying, it's going to be really interesting how you're going to do this one, Lord. Not to be worried, not to be anxious, not to be complaining, not to be negative. It's, boy, you're going to do a great one on this time. Because he's God. Volume 5, 3:20-03. I was out, as I was outside of myself, and this is what's going to happen with us. Jesus is going to lead us, guide us, and direct us the way he did with Louisa. As I was outside, this is why you need a spiritual director, and it should be a priest or a bishop. As I was outside of myself, I saw Father all in difficulty with regard to the grace he wants. This is her spiritual director. And once again, Blessed Jesus and St. Joseph were saying to him, if you get down to work, listen to this, all your difficulties shall disappear. They shall all fall off like fish scales. This is what God wants us to know. If you get down to work, what does it mean to get down to work? To adore him and to love him and to praise him and to thank him and to bless him and to worship him. To let Jesus reign inside, gazing with your gazing, listening with your listening, speaking with your speaking. How do you get to this point? By reading, studying, and putting this into practice. Somebody once said to me, I read all the 36 volumes, now what do I do? What do? Begin to read it again, and again, and again. And again, and God keeps on expanding our capacity to, for all eternity. And 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 years from now, as we're into this divine will, God's going to say, do you want to know more? And we go, yeah. And he goes, well, let's go for another 100,000 years. God is infinite. And he wants to share with us, he wants us to begin to understand who he is. And he's beginning that in a way, as Our Lady of Revelation said, that he hasn't done until this point. The lives of the saints are beautiful, but they learned how to do the will of God. We're learning how to live in the will of God. This is what's so extraordinary. He says, okay, volume 7, 5907. Sorry. And now, since I do not remember everything distinctly, I should tell of the past altogether and confusedly, starting from where I left off when I was praying that Jesus would take my mother to paradise without her touching purgatory. Then on March 19th, the day dedicated to St. Joseph, in the morning, while I was in my usual state, her usual state was suffering. My mother passed away from this life into the sphere of eternity. And Blessed Jesus, allowing me to see her as he was taking her, told me, my daughter, the Creator takes his creature. That's where we're going. We're going back to God. And this is why we have to begin to focus on the way and the how God is going to do this. This is glorious. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to fear. It's nothing to be anxious about. This is the reunion that God is calling us to enter into. A new beginning. Volume 11, 8, 14, 19, 12. Now, one day while I was working, I thought to myself, how is it possible that Jesus works in me while I work? This is good. Does he really want to do this work? And Jesus says, yes, I do. My fingers are in yours, and they work. My daughter, when I was on earth, didn't my hands lower themselves to work in the wood, hammer and the nails, help my foster father Joseph in the smithing works? While I was doing that, with those very hands and with those fingers, I, God, created souls and called other souls to other life. And I divinized all my human actions. I sanctified them, giving them a divine merit to each one of them. In the movement of my fingers, I called the sequence of all the movements of your fingers and of all the others. I saw what they were doing. I saw that they were doing them for me, or because I wanted to act within them. I continued my life of Nazareth in them. That's what God is doing now. And I felt cheered by them for the sacrifices and the humiliations of my hidden life, giving them the merit of my own life. When you're washing the dishes, when you're vacuuming the rug, when you're shoveling the driveway, when you're mowing the lawn, one with Jesus. It's joy. He says, giving them the merit of my own life. My daughter, the hidden life that I continued in Nazareth is not taken into account by men, when in fact, after the Passion, nothing could benefit them more. So what is he saying? What are you doing with your time? Are you focused on Jesus? See, this is why we have the Holy Rosary. And again, the Holy Rosary, we'll have some talks, we'll have Mass, we'll have confession tomorrow at 2 for those who want to go to confession. But in between these times, go to the Holy Hill and pray the Holy Rosary. Pray the Holy Rosary. Why? Our intellect, the three powers that God has given us, our intellect is to begin to think with a divine perspective, with the mind of Christ. Our memory has to be of Jesus and Mary. That's why we have the Holy Rosary. We're looking at Jesus with the loving eyes of Mary. And then finally, our will. Our human will, which is what we say when we go to confession. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. That's our human will. And then he says, so I'm going to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. Then what happens? Jesus says, surrender your human will. Use your free will to choose. Do I want to live this miserable life, falling into sin continuously? Or do I want to live in the divine will? Jesus says, choose. He says, and I will help you. Choose, and I will take care of it. So we'll end now, and we'll get back tomorrow at 9 o'clock. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.